Thank you, Jack. There are some people that go back 30, 40 years, and Jack is one of them, maybe 50 even. And thank you for those selection of songs. They were very meaningful and brought me down memory lane on thinking of those that were light to me. And right here in this room, just Jack was one of them. Helen Van Veen, years ago, taught in Sunday school, and a light. And our brother Nelson and brother Mervin. Those are four right here in the audience that over the 30, 40 years that you've been a light to me, and thank the Lord for that. Little update on camp. We had a really busy week, and I found myself thinking and thanking those who have been praying. There were so many hindrances this past week to get back to the message. And then different ones had mentioned they're praying, and thank you for that. It is through your support that we can be there and be helping and fixing on the old machinery, fixing on missionaries' cars. There's quite a number went through this week, and thank you for your support. They don't know half the people that help us to be there, but the Lord knows, and He will reward you. I'd like to pause now and open a word of prayer before we get into the message. Oh, gracious God and our Father, we just come before you with nothing of ourselves and with all in you, and we thank you for your word that you've made alive to us. Thank you for those that were faithful in being lights to us, to each one of us in our lives in this room, that we can be here and rejoicing and have peace in our hearts with you. So just commit our time, lift up your word, Father. You would be praised and glorified. We just do again, pray for this dear brother, Ed Michelle, Father, that you would comfort him. And we would pray recovery, yet, Father, that most of all, that close nearness with you through it all. And others that are suffering too, we think of dear family from Mitchell years back, the McComb family, loss of a husband, a father there. So we just pray, lift up the McComb family. So we just thank you, Father, that they have you and he knew you. We just rejoice in that. So guide us in our time in your word this morning, and by your Holy Spirit, empower for me, for the words, and each one of us to take these and live them. We pray for your strengthening for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just was after the Sunday school picnic yesterday, come home and got word that a dear family that we had known over the years in Mitchell Bible Chapel, the fella, Kevin McComb, had passed away earlier on this week. So he's just a year or two older than me, and it came as a shock. And so we never know our time. He was struggling with something to do with the kidneys. They had to shut down. We had met just, I want to say, 3 weeks ago in the hospital there in Stratford. And Kevin said to me, "Bert, I'm all washed out. If someone tell me the gospel today, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care at all." He was just so dead feeling. So he was coming for dialysis twice a week, had no energy, could just barely walk to the hospital, get there. And now was passed away. And just praise the Lord. He come to faith and understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ these 20 years ago. So, I wouldn't have had no interest in that today. So keep on being that light. Today is Father's Day, and so happy Father's Day to each and every one of you that are fathers. And we it's a real privilege for, first of all, to become a father, and also for that I can be here and on Father's Day. Didn't realize it at the start, but through the week, it's going to be Father's Day this week on Sunday. So thank you for that privilege. So, again, thank you to all of those who have been in prayer to our Heavenly Father on my behalf for the preparation of this message. Today is Father's Day. So we may give cards or words of encouragement, words of thankfulness, maybe gifts of appreciation to our dad, our father, for their their help and kindness to us in this past year, or maybe during the day today, or even during our life. So then we take a special pause and we take a moment to think of the things they have done and helped us with, and then find some avenue or some way to express our gratefulness and our thanks. And that light, today I'd like to look at the greatness of our Heavenly Father with some scriptures, and especially from the book of Daniel, and we'll be turning to Daniel 4. And the idea of God's greatness comes out here, and it just come together really something for Father's Day. And so in following the guideline, I try to follow a guideline in preparing a message and who God is, what he has done, and what does this mean to me or to us, and how can we apply it? So the basis of this message comes from 1 Corinthians 1:31, which is also a quote from Jeremiah 9:24, "But of him ye are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And here's the quote, "that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." So on this Father's Day, do we have any appreciation, when I woke up this morning, of the greatness of our Heavenly Father? We open the windows during the summer. We can hear the birds coming on 4:35 and different notes coming through. And in the evenings again, the beauty of nature. And even though the rascals that the squirrels and the chipmunks are, there's a beauty there. Do we have any appreciation of his creation, of his being our creator, our owner, our boss, and then acknowledge him accordingly? There's that parable of the rich fool that had so much of this world's good, but there's no mention of him being merciful to the poor. And God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." There's no mention of that man acknowledging God. And we read in Romans that the heathen, those that build them or set themselves up against God, they're neither thankful, and that man, that fool, wasn't. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "In all our ways acknowledge him." Have we done that today? Have we done that through this past week? And especially this day of Father's Day of our, an appreciation of our Heavenly Father. How that also in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, created all the living things on this earth, made a garden, made it all perfect. There's just one place in this entire universe for man to survive on. We're trying to set up a space station, but it's been taking years. Man wasn't meant to live out there. God made this perfect habitat for our living and proliferation. And that God came in the evening, we read in Genesis, to have fellowship, walk and talk with Adam and Eve. And he desires that fellowship of us today. We all have this God-created vacuum in us. Only he can fill it. We strive to do so many things. We strive to grasp onto things to fill that vacuum, but we can't fill it. It's only the hunger, the God hunger in our being that he can satisfy. As I got into this book of Daniel, I found it fascinating. Do a little bit of a review. In chapter 1, we have this king of Babylon. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. He comes to Jerusalem, besieges it, and it was time for punishment for Israel. So, and it says, "The Lord gave Jehoiakim, that king of Judah, into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar." And Daniel was among those that was taken captive from Judah by the invaders. Now there's no fun being taken captive, and especially for Daniel. We read he was handsome. He was probably one of the better, best looking maybe young fellows there. He also came from a kingly line. He was one of the princes in the line of Judah. And the reason he was taken was to be trained to be a servant, just to serve. He was trained for 3 years to be of palace service for the king. And with that, he was likely made into a eunuch. So he'd never have a family, probably never get married. Yet Daniel purposes in his heart just not defile himself. And that's the book, to me, the key of, like looking for a key verse in a chapter, in that he is noted for being his purity and his holiness. And are we? So he's not going to defile himself with the king's food or the king's wine. Proposes a 10-day test. Imagine that. A slave proposing to the boss. Let's do a 10-day test. I know it better than you. No, that's one of those things. You don't say that to the boss. No, I won't do that. Well, then you're not working for him. Well, it passes. It says God gave favor to Daniel in the eyes of Arioch, or in the eyes of that man that was in charge of him. And then, name slipping me right now. I've got it mixed up with another one. Anyway, we found the same standard true in Indonesia that they used. They're, the whiter the skin, the fairer you are, and the plumper the flesh, that was something to be desired. And in the Asian culture, that's even many of the Indonesian women today apply skin whitener. You can see it on their face, and they all try to get plumper. Well, that's what passed the test for Daniel. Is somehow his skin became fairer, and it was more healthy looking in their eyes. And so it was passed. And yet these similarities of the trials that Daniel went through, it says God gave them wisdom and Daniel's three friends in knowledge and skill, so much more than the others in that. In all literature and wisdom, science. And Daniel especially had understanding in visions and dreams. And that reminded me of the hard things that Joseph went through. He was wise and he interpreted dreams. And then what was his response when bad things happened? Because bad things happen to good people. Joseph, can we take it like Joseph? He said what men meant for evil, God turned to good. I so often grumble when somebody does something out of the routine in the shop, or complain, or a tool gets missing or gets stolen, and just get discouraged when things pile up or stuff goes wrong. Or as I was mentioned to someone, a two-hour job this week turned into a two-day job, and just so easy to grumble. Well, how can I turn that around? Can I learn that God leads us in these paths for his name's sake? As Psalm 23:3 says, he leads in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Can I get past that it might be doing some good? From Romans 8:28, that God turns all things to good for those that love him. Can I get past to the point of not being grumbling about it, but rejoicing in it? And rejoice in the Lord over this trial. And then fourthly, God's purposes are fulfilled. Can I see? Sometimes we don't see that, but we can see it from Scripture. My perception might be like Joseph was, what men meant for evil. I take it wrong, but God meant it for good. And for Joseph, it came to the saving of his family. It came to the saving, ultimately, of Israel. And can my perception change from what man intends for evil? God will turn it to good. Can I have that focus ahead of when I'm being oppressed with things that seem to be done against me? And also, I was thinking of Moses, how things got much worse before they got redeemed out of Egypt. God's purpose for them was not only redemption and that they'd come and worship him, but also to punish the Egyptians. And so much so, even for the destruction of Egypt, for their punishment of their slavery to and wicked dealings with the children of Israel. And then also to destroy Pharaoh that hardened his heart and would not let God's people go. Also, he lost his life and his army in the Red Sea. And with mention, a few weeks back, one of the messages, how that Satan, one of the speakers spoke on, that Satan will prevent the worship of God in our hearts, even this morning, even to the point of death. Pharaoh, he destroyed his country over this point. Then he also lost his firstborn and the people, their firstborn, and then ultimately his life. And so Satan will end the life of the entire army there in the Red Sea. So Satan will prevent the worship of God even to the point of death, and or any acknowledgement of God at all costs. Satan will try to prevent you. In my life and yours, you may find Satan will bring all kinds of obstacles that hinder, or all kinds of attractions that would prevent me to worship and extol and give praise and acknowledgement for God. And looking at this redemption, I rejoiced in the day how that these peoples that were mentioned at the start, how they were lights to me, and came to realize that song that we sang, Dun Dun, D-O-N-E. What a freedom that was when I realized Christ had done it all. There wasn't anything I could do more to satisfy God concerning my sins, and how that Christ had paid for that. And one of the songs we sang this morning, I am the sinner that Christ died for. That realization that Christ did it all, what peace came in that. And then also in redemption, there's the response of Naomi and Ruth. Naomi knew the culture of the time of the kinsman redeemer, and Ruth followed her every detail of whatever Naomi had advised. Ruth laid claim to this provision. God has made a provision of forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to lay claim to that. For a long time, my mind was in darkness. I didn't understand that. But I needed to call on him. I need to receive him. I need to believe on him. My question for you is, if you called on him today, Ruth set aside all her thinking of how to get a husband. And that's how I had to set aside all my thinking of how to please God, how to get right with God, how to be set aside. And really, it was simple. Repent of my ideas and follow what the scriptures say and believe on God's way of salvation from his word, the Holy Bible. And it's as simple as John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. And it comes back to, is God your heavenly Father? Have you been birthed of God, the Father in heaven? So going on then to Daniel 2, we'll get into reading the chapter. If you're like me, you wonder where Daniel is. It's after you get the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then you get a huge book, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation. And then there's like four books there that are huge and big except Lamentation. Then you get Daniel. So it's like if you're into Nahum and Malachi, you're too far. If you're at Isaiah, you got to keep going. So it just helps get a memory of where these books are. Chapter 2 is out about the vision of a huge image. I call it the forgotten dream because Nebuchadnezzar wanted this dream told that he wouldn't even tell his wise men. Well, that's hard. They didn't have anything to start with. But the secret is revealed and Nebuchadnezzar is troubled over it. There are four metals. And it's interesting and fascinating to me because we are in this story. We are referred to way back then. So the image is a head of gold, and that represented Nebuchadnezzar, a breast and arms of silver. So with the arms you have two, and that was the Medes and Persians, and the belly and thigh of brass representing Greece, and then the legs of iron standing for east and west, which we have today. And it's been, and then the feet and toes of 10 toes of iron and clay, the Roman Empire. Then a stone is cut without hands and totally destroys the image. It becomes like chaff. The wind carries it all away which represents the coming of our Lord Jesus. He will destroy these previous kingdoms and rule forever. And that's basically chapter 2. And it's fascinating. Daniel 2 is coming true. We're in it right now, right at this time. You can read the details of chapter 3, but it's like Daniel's three friends. They refuse to bow down to worship this image of gold. It's almost like this dream gave him an idea what to do. So he builds up this 90-foot gold image, and everyone needs to bow down to it. Well, they refuse to do that and are thrown into the fiery furnace for their disobedience. They fall down, bound into this furnace, and then get up, and then there's four people walking around in there. And it says, the fourth is the form of the fourth. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And it's like Nebuchadnezzar is getting just bits of revelation as we go through these chapters. He says, ye servants of the Most High God. And that's coming out in chapter 4, the Most High. So this book of Daniel, there's a quote I read from Bill McDonald's start of the commentary on Daniel. It's a quote from Jerome, who lived in AD 347 to 420. And he stressed that none of the prophets have spoken so clearly concerning Christ as this prophet Daniel. Not only did he assert that he would come, a prediction common to the other prophets as well, but also set forth the very time at which he would come. Moreover, he went through the various kings in order, stated the actual number of years involved, and announced beforehand the clearest signs of the events to come. Have we any idea, grasp who this God is that's given us all in Scripture here? It just, blows me away. Let's get into reading chapter 4. Read on through it, and starting at verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last, he went through all these people, and he knew Daniel was the wisest. But at last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried out loud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times or 7 years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. But now, Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, and whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and will give it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the heaven, in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So here we have Nebuchadnezzar has another dream, and he comes out with this acclamation of praise. And it was meaningful in the sense for when one of the first jobs I got into in Papua was helping with building a couple houses, and we had to go get the wood, and it had to be cut. And we were looking at a tree that would be used for the lumber for this house. And they cut every board with chainsaws. It's all hand cut. And it was a massive tree. I can't say even how wide the trunk was because it was too big for them to cut. And so they raised up an elevation of, as high as this bottom of this roof here, and set up like a homemade scaffold of poles, and they cut up there with the chainsaw because the chainsaw had a bar of 3 feet, and they could only get through it up there because it was less than 6 feet across up there. And so this tree came down with a huge crash. And I got on the tree. It was the real long. It was Kayu Damar. Its bark was very like spruce. It gave off this sap, and it just came out in thick wads, and they could just snap it off, and you could put 3 of them together, put a match on it, and it would just light up instantly. You had an instant fire. You just put some wood over it, and it was so easy to build fires with that. But I stepped up on this log, and it was straight. And I would say it went from here halfway to Main Street. And I stepped off 100 steps, and that was the end of the log. It was 300 feet long. And then there was still the crown yet of this tree. And it's just one glimpse of massiveness. Our trees here are like a 60-foot silo, about one-fifth of the length of some of the trees in the woods there. But it was just an object lesson to me of this story, this huge tree that Nebuchadnezzar was. And this Nebuchadnezzar was the kingdom of kingdoms, the head of gold. And he has this dream happen to him, and God becomes real through it and speaks to him. Has God become real to you? Has he spoke to you? And this condition he had is called boanthropy. I don't know if I say it right. It is a condition that has happened to other people too. It's got a medical name for it. And I'd like to turn over how God has spoken to us in these last days. Hebrews, very familiar passage to a lot of us. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Has his Son spoken to you? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. In our worship time this morning, we got into somewhat of the creation of this world. And I wanted to read from Psalm 19, verse 1. Maybe many of you know that as well. But you look up into the starry sky at night, and it's just staggering how that God made all this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Do we have any concept of who this God is? And then going on, the names of Jehovah, done a study years ago, and then a new one came up to me in the sense that I hadn't. It was during our Samuel study, and it comes out in 2 Samuel 6, 8, when David's giving out cakes and raisins, and he's brought this ark, and he's been rejoicing before the ark. And we read this term, the Lord of hosts, and that's never mentioned in the first 5 books, and it's alluded to in Joshua and Judges, but that name, Lord of hosts, it was new. And Jehovah Sabaoth. And Sabbath means hosts. And with the idea of Jehovah in reference to warfare, for service, for help and comfort. This is the meaning of this Sabbath word. And it never comes up in, like I said, in the first 5 books, but it comes up seemingly when the kingdom age has started of the kings. And I don't, that's the only similarity I'm seeing, but it's many times in Jeremiah uses it 80 times through his book. Haggai, about 50. Malachi, about 25. This word that's never used of Jehovah before, he's our help. He's our comfort. But it's the idea of many, of huge. We also read in Psalm 46, 7 to 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord who hath made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease in the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And the idea here is this God of hosts, he's with you and me every day, no matter where you are, no matter where I am. And then also a Psalm 24, the Lord of hosts comes out. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Getting into the meanings of these words is just mind-boggling. And do we have any grasp of who our Heavenly Father is and any appreciation of him? One last reference in Isaiah I want to look at. This, you might say, is a Christmas verse, and it's often read then. Verse 9, for unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here's another aspect of we had in our reading this week in the Daily Bread. But anyway, the meanings of this name, he's wonderful and full of wonders. We got into that this morning a bit in the breaking of bread. He's our counselor, as the Holy Spirit is our comforter, counselor, helper, the mighty God, and the mighty Elohim. El means strong one, like the super strong one, or Ella. There's also the idea of faithfulness, and that's the character he puts into these earlier ones I mentioned of their faithfulness and shining the light. Almighty God El Shaddai. This is has a double meaning. First, as nourisher, the Shaddai, it comes from the word breast, which is a nursing mother to a baby, and that baby is nourished from the breast. It also has the idea of strength giver. Do you and I find our strength and nourishment in El Shaddai? Then the second part of that meaning of that is this: as a hungry baby is not only nourished and strengthened and growing, but it's quieted and comforted, rested and satisfied. And it's like that God-shaped vacuum can only be filled with him in this El Shaddai. We need, and we can all have all of this in El Shaddai. And then another meaning here is the Everlasting Father. Another compound name for El is El Olam, and that's from everlasting to everlasting. It's these words are just full of meaning. It also has the idea of hid, something that's hidden from eternity to eternity. The Greek has the word eon. We say things, well, that's taken an eon to do. It comes up in when Abram, he dug wells in Genesis 21, and then Abimelech's servants violently took him away, and Abram dug another one. And while they're coming to make this promise, Abimelech came and made this promise, will you be peaceful with my people? And this is over in Palestine. And so they make a covenant there at Beersheba, and I'm reading from Genesis 21, verse 32. Abimelech rose up with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistine. Then Abram planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And we have the everlasting one, everlasting Father. Then Abram stayed many days in the land of the Philistines. This Prince of Peace, he's the Master of Peace. We had that song about the last little chorus about Christ, our leader, our captain. That's where Prince, Master of Peace, Tsar is the word in that comes out there in Hebrew. Leader or the head of, and with convening meaning of safety, of health, of being well, of happy, of prosperity. Wow, all these are in names. Whereas sometimes we hear the word Adonai or Adon, that's the word in front of. We say the Lord God, he's the master. Adonai means master, the high one, the chief. So as we ponder in the greatness of God, may we be in appreciation of our Heavenly Father for his help and kindness to us during this past year, or maybe during our life, or even today. Let us think on ways that God has done these things in our life, and then find some way to, or some avenue that we can express our gratefulness. Let us think on the greatness of our God, our El Shaddai. I'd like for us to close with Song 520 from the Red Hymn Books. Day by Day, the favorite of mine. And with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. We'll sing all three verses of 520. Let's close in prayer. Oh, gracious God and Father, we just are astounded at your greatness. We just stand in awe of you and who you are and how that you've spoken unto us in these last days. We can't even fully grasp in who Christ is, what he's all done, what he all went through. And to redeem us, help us to step forth and claim that salvation and not try by our own doings or own works or our own methods, but claim that redemption that's been made for us. And Father, that how you care for us, you watch over us, you know our goings, our sittings, our every movements, you know even our thoughts. So Father, we just pray your strengthening, your help, and we commit to you a brother Jeremy as he speaks forth your word this evening. Strengthen him by the power of your might and enable him in your word, in clarity of thought. We pray too for our children, these young ones that are growing up in the Sunday school, the teachers, for the message they bring. Father, that would be dwelling on rich soil, on good ground, and that they would take it in and apply it to their lives and come to know you early in life and live for you in the youth of their years. So we just rejoice that you are God, God Almighty, Lord of hosts and El Shaddai, and how that you strengthen and nourish us and that we are satisfied in you. So just watch over as we go home and bless this day for your name's sake. In our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.